Our second reading is from the Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, and this is the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, a strange parable. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But when the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out and meet him. Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise replied, no, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. The gospel of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Grace to you and peace from our God and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. The end. The end. If it's a really good book, the end comes too soon, doesn't it? If it's a boring, interminable sermon, the amen cannot come soon enough. And if we're looking at our life story, each one of our life stories, the end can arrive at either end of the spectrum or somewhere in between. One time I did a funeral for someone in the family in North Carolina who had this writing called, maybe you've heard it, the dash. In other words, it was all the person had done or been from birth to death. The dash was the in-between, the birth and the death dates. Tuesday, National Election Day, now it's National Election Week, I was in Lakeville, Minnesota during the election, conducting a celebration of life for my 22-year-old great-niece, Claire, one whose dash was tremendously short. We were not ready for her leaving us. No one was prepared. It was total shock for her mother, father, and all of us. She had moved back home, so they were right with her. But she had been diagnosed with a deadly kidney disease last January. We were told that one day in the distant future, she would need a new kidney. And so we all talked about that and decided who might be able to donate. So we relieved our fears in a sense and were not prepared for this sudden change in health. While Claire, a faith-filled social justice person, lived with Jesus, and on pins and needles, everyone failed to light that lamp of readiness for her leaving us. You'll notice I don't match the green for today. It's an after Pentecost Sunday, but I'm wearing this because last Sunday and all week, this past week, it was All Saints Week, white. And what a perfect time. I know it sounds weird, but pastors think that's a perfect time to have a funeral or a celebration of life. So I'm wearing this today in memory of her. And what I've started is for the family to add names. And I put Claire on here. Kim was my niece, my brother's youngest child, and she died of kidney disease too, so it kind of runs in the family. So I'm running these as the saints in our family. And if you have something that you can do like that, it's a neat way to remember our ancestors and those who come die before us. This All Saints Week. for sending her to from Hosanna Church, where she was baptized and confirmed and active in the church in Lakeville. Her name and her favorite color, as you can see, her favorite color was purple for the stole. During this time of COVID home confinement, which it is, some people call it house arrest, I think that's too negative, I've learned to embroider with a sewing machine. So you learn to do other things. So I've done that. So I'm starting this family list, as you can see. So that event, along with my nephew Steve's momentous 60th birthday on Tuesday, amidst all the grieving, he was under the radar celebrating his 60th birthday. And as we near the end of the church year, we are getting these end time scriptures. Today's is a zinger, as I call it. It is a prophetic warning that Jesus can come at any time, just like death can come at any time. And that we should be on pins and needles, knowing that this time can happen this hour, waiting for Jesus' return. We should always be prepared with those lamps of, the lamps symbolize wisdom, lamps of wisdom, and enough oil of faith to carry us. You can't give your faith to someone else to carry at the last minute, and that's the idea of the foolish maidens. So what does being prepared mean in our COVID lives today? Often this little parable is quickly, and you probably have heard it 100 times, devoured by piranhas of judgment among us. Those who will be thrown into hell and those who will go to heaven. The 5 good maidens and the 5 bad maidens, or vice versa. But there's another take on this that doesn't come up with that at all. Father Capon, who is a great scholar, and other Greek scholars, and me, we see Jesus, a Jesus who tempts to show us just a glimpse of heaven contrasted to the ways of this world. Heaven as contrasted to this world. Judgment in Greek is krisis, or crisis. And as you know, the Chinese symbol has 2 symbols, danger and opportunity. For crisis, danger and opportunity, pins and needles opportunity. This parable is 2 symbols also. A daytime wedding, notice the contrast from day to night. A daytime wedding, a night of celebration. 5 wise maidens, Sophia's, meaning wise, or Sonia if you're Norwegian. 5 foolish maidens. But the foolish appear wise at first, according to worldly thinking, when you think about that. They go to the daytime wedding. What's to worry about with these lamps of oil to offer light in a bright afternoon like today is? Or as the parable expresses, lamps to offer wisdom. Jesus stands things on their heads, as he usually does. Jesus stands things on their heads in this gospel story, showing that in the world, something always goes wrong. You can never plan perfectly. No bridegroom yet. The light, the Sophia diminishes. But the 5 maidens who overprepared appeared foolish. I'm always reminded, I carry a fairly large purse most of the time, and I'm always reminded why I do that. And I have something for every contingency. There's probably a kitchen sink in my purse. Who knows? But the 5 maidens who overprepared appeared to be foolish at first. Ha ha! They turn out to be the wise ones in this surprise God offers. The 5 wise who are foolish in this world, perhaps, trust the foolishness of God. The foolishness of God with the door slamming shut on the enlightened ones in faith. God answers to the wisdom of the world. I'm not particularly fond of Matthew's interpretation always, because he always separates people out. And in this one, he throws them away from this. There is no last chance. When the bridegroom comes, remember the metaphor for the church? Remember the metaphor for the church in the Bible is the bride? the bride of Christ. The groom comes to the church, to the bride. Wisdom on its own flies away. But there's a punchline to this strange little parable. The end is the party. This parable affirms faith and going with the implausible. Faith and going with the implausible. Needing extra oil of faith, extra lamp oil, during a daytime wedding. Needing oil in those lamps for the long-term faith. God's wisdom is light in this darkness. These five Sophias, maidens, cannot share because of five unbelieving who cannot be brought to belief that quickly. Christ is coming for us in a surprise time, as we know, and we are partying into a foreboding darkness falling upon this earth. Faith secures our oil in our lamp. It's a parable of the unbelievable, the absurd, as a call to support that holder of our foolish faith. And we have holders of that foolish faith right here. We are holding on to that faith because we are the church. In something we cannot see, to the larger, more widespread foolishness of the church in the world that actually believes people can be helped, can be loved, into experiencing the love of God for them over the world. And we know the world is stuffed with other gods besides Jesus. Status, footballs, Elvis, presidents, all those things that pretend to be our gods, when the real party may come in on our worldly enlightening to show up all of these gods in our darkness. I read a daily devotion. I read the daily devotion. Mine happens to be from Luther Seminary, but I read the one for this text this week, and I thought it was pretty enlightening. It was by David Shearer. He's a contextual learning associate at Luther Seminary. And he starts by quoting basketball legend Michael Jordan. This is a quote from Michael Jordan. I always approached each scrimmage as if it was a championship game. He understood that in order to adequately prepare himself for the game, in the big game, he had to practice over and over again the same habits, the same good habits. This begs the question, if people saw our habits, for what game would they think that we were practicing? Would they see habits of peace and justice that prepare us for the championship reign of God or shalom? Or would they see habits of hatred and division that are rendered useless in God's kingdom? While we do not know the day or the hour, we must continue to develop inclusive habits that will prepare us to enjoy the diversity that is present in God's upcoming game. We don't want to miss the joy of playing the game that has already been won. Unquote. Today, we have an opportunity to be fools for Christ. Fools for Christ with our being on pins and needles for Jesus' return, for carrying oil, that oil of life. We support the bride, the church, a little unraveled by her wedding party maidens, perhaps. But God blesses this bringing of gifts for the bride and the bridegroom to support the bride and to get everything ready for that grand party when the church's groom, Jesus, arrives unexpectedly early. I have a devotion that this David Shearer also wrote. He's a marvelous, marvelous writer. And this is his devotion for this text. Dear Jesus, I thought I was ready for you. Clearly I'm not. I come with anger. You come with joy. I come with comfort. I want comfort. You come with a sword. I want answers. You come with questions. I want chariots. You come on a donkey. I thought I was ready for you to appear. I thought my lamp was trimmed and burning bright enough. And yet, here you are appearing to me again and again without recognition. In lonely jail cells, in loud courtrooms, in tense chat rooms, in annoying phone calls, in people that I love and then people that I struggle to love. Boy, isn't that true in this last election? I thought that I had read enough about your game of hide and seek in the ones who are called the least of these. I thought I had sung enough about your ability to lift up the low places. And yet I am reminded now once again, I am not ready. I am not ready for you. Make me ready, Jesus. Train my eyes to see the distressing disguises you have. Train my ears to hear your muzzled whispers. Train my heart to welcome your broken body. And as my lamp burns dimmer and dimmer, keep me awake and make me ready for Jesus. The lamps filled with, unquote, the lamps filled with oil and extra oil, ready for those who work for justice, for peace, for preparing this world for Jesus, coming once again coming to us, to claim us and take us to a better place. So we carry these lamps and extra oil of faith from the light into the darkness. Jesus bids us be on pins and needles and carry those lamps, lamps of wisdom, not as the world knows it. No, not as the world knows it, but as God surprises us with love and peace coming when we least expect it. Let us be prepared. Let us have that oil of love, kindness, inclusivity, and faith to light up every corner of this world with hope in Jesus' return. Perhaps this time in another motif. Perhaps Jesus will come back as a Native American woman. Perhaps Jesus will come back as an African American child. Perhaps Jesus will come back as a Guatemalan refugee at our southern border. Perhaps Jesus will come where we least expect and when we least expect it. Keep the lamp oiled. Keep the faith. Amen.